Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Mr. Beacon Podcast presents The Internet of Finding Things with special guest Misha Nosek, CEO of Haystack Magic. The Mr. Beacon Podcast is sponsored by Wiliot, scaling IoT with battery-free Bluetooth.
Misha, thanks so much for coming on to the Mr. Beacon Podcast. We're going to talk about asset tracking and crowdsourcing. And this is fairly unusual. Normally, we have companies on that are well into market and so forth. But I really like what you're doing. I think it's a great idea. So we wanted to see if we could help bring some attention to that. So thanks very much for joining the show.
You're more than welcome. And thanks for having me.
So where is Haystack Magic based? Where is your company?
Haystack Magic is headquartered in Canada, in the capital city called Ottawa. R&D is in Israel. So we are a global, truly global company.
Fantastic. Well, some very good developers in Israel, so good choice. Can you just summarize what your product does?
Our mission in life is to map all the physical objects in the world and make information about them universally useful. It may sound familiar, but yes, that's the ambitious goal that we set for ourselves. And our motto says, know where everything is, so that knowledge of where things are, I think, is very important to the humans.
Well, so, you know, what you do, you have a mobile app and it can be used to track things. And the mission is kind of an awe-inspiring, maybe daunting one. But at a very practical level, it seems like what you can do is help people find their keys and the remote control. And we'll talk about what else you can do. But how does your approach differ from the kind of very familiar names who've shipped millions of beacons already, the likes of Tile and Pointer and so forth?
We're not a consumer electronics company. We are a software company, and we deliver our software as a service. Therefore, we are fairly agnostic to the hardware, as long as this hardware is standard. All of the current tracker companies, and there are about 20, probably more than this, all of them were started just before specifications for beacons, first by Apple and then by Google, were published. And that led to very rapid and very dramatic commoditization of the hardware. You can now buy a beacon for $1. And everything that we're seeing suggests that it will be much less very soon. But even at $1, you can put these beacons on many more things than you can put the current $20-$25 trackers on. And therefore, when you have the massive amount of things and places marked by beacons, you can have a very different approach. And when you mentioned that it's keys and wallets, because it's the first thing people think about, and that's what they fear of losing. However, they really lose these things very infrequently. What happens more frequently is people misplace things, both at home and in the workplace. And I believe that wherever people are in the workplace, in all of the verticals, in all of the industry verticals, and in their private lives, They need the solution that kind of works the same and is based on the same technology. That's what gives it scale, and that's what lowers the price.
When you say the same technology, what do you mean by the same technology?
The same technology means the same standard. The commodity consumer grade technology, which on one hand exists in the form of standard beacons, iBeacon or Eddystone. Today, these are the two competing protocols that most standard silicon implements on the same silicon. So you can have both supported by the same chips. So and mobile phones that can receive signals in both formats.
If we compare you to, and I think I said Pointer is an indoor navigation company. So Tracker, so if we compare you to Tracker and Tile, then you're not in the hardware business, and therefore you can offer the benefits of the huge choice of different beacon technologies. And you talked about some very low prices. Obviously, Wiliot, the company I have my day job with, is working on that. But tell me about what pricing are you seeing for beacons? Where can I buy a low-cost battery-powered beacon from, and what kind of pricing could I expect to pay?
Well, they already advertised on Alibaba at $1. And what we see is that bill of materials rapidly shrinks. I envision within the span of a year and a half, we will get to 50 cent and then to 20 cent beacons. And as Wiliot promises us, some of these beacons will be without the battery. Mm-hmm. You only need a battery if you want this beacon to shine its light far away. We don't believe there is a need for that. As you will see in our demo, we actually work better when beacons are seen from a very close proximity. Why is it important? Because there are phones that roam the earth. They come close. Eventually, some phone will come close to a beacon and will pick it up. So there is no need for this beacon to be visible from 30 meters away, because somebody will eventually come close to it to a distance of 1 or 2 meters. We talked to chip vendors, and we see that even in 100,000 volume, the prices for the chip itself, for the SoC that powers all these beacons, is way less than $1. And we're thinking about millions in volume, not even hundreds of thousands.
Okay.
These beacons will be really cheap.
So there's one of the other differences. You're not looking for beacons to be broadcasting at 0 dBm, which is a pretty strong signal. What kind of signal strength do you recommend people configure their beacons to transmit at for kind of optimal usage with your software?
Well, so far, beacons depend on the battery, and the battery lasts much longer if you configure it to minus 20, minus 30 dB. Mm-hmm. And that's the minimum setting that I see is available from most beacon manufacturers. Mm-hmm. We also don't need to broadcast very frequently. The broadcast interval is quite okay to be starting at once a second, and sometimes when you don't need it, it can be lowered to once every 5 or 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. The thing is that the beacons and then obviously we will see the beacons without the battery, and there they cannot transmit more frequently and more powerfully than certain minimum. And we're building the technology, we're building our software to take advantage of these beacons' capabilities, because this is their incapability to transmit more powerfully and more frequently is actually not a disadvantage.
Okay. Well, this is interesting. So last area of difference that I see, I think there's others as well, but one of the biggies is you buy a Tile beacon or a Tracker beacon, and it'll beep, maybe it'll have a light on it. And it seems like if you're going for these commodity beacons, then you're not necessarily going to be doing that. I think we should switch to a demo very soon. But before we do that, just how do you help people find things if there's no beeping?
Well, because there are many things that will be marked and are being marked with very inexpensive commodity beacons, we introduced the notion of context. Humans don't think in terms of geographic coordinates or any coordinates in any system of coordinates. You give a human two numbers or three numbers and they have no idea what to do with them. However, humans think in terms of context. If you lost your umbrella or misplaced your umbrella somewhere in the office or in the house or somewhere, and you're given a context of it, which says that the umbrella was last seen not far from your shoes and your laptop charger and your headset. And when you're given a list of 5-6 things, chances are very high that you will remember, oh, I saw my glasses there. And if it's near my glasses, oh, I remember where it is now. And you know where to search. And of course, we can give the proximity indicator, which also will produce sound on the phone, which is kind of hot cold. It doesn't work very well, but it gives you some indication where things are. And once you know the area, especially indoors, the area where you left one of your items, and you know the context, it becomes very easy to find. I know it because I'm using it pretty much every day, mm-hmm. and it's amazing to see how human memory works. You know that your tablet or is near your glasses, and you immediately remember where you saw your glasses last, and therefore you know where the tablet is.
That is fascinating. You're right. That's exactly how our brain works. It's all about associations. And if you can trigger that association, then it all comes back. And probably better to leverage that than our sonar location capabilities, which are iffy at best. Okay. Well, can you show us the product in action?
Certainly. I will now share my screen.
So what we're going to look at is an Android app, right?
That is correct. Let me move. So what you're looking at is the main screen of Haystack Magic application, which shows a list of items that belong to me and members of my family. And you can see that there's quite a lot. And there's no real limit, practical limit to it. I can add dozens and dozens of things. I can also group these things in sets. So that's my everyday carry in my bag. And it contains things that I want to be with me when I'm leaving the home. And there is an exclamation mark here, which says that the set is not complete. Because some things, like I forgot my laptop charger in my car.
Uh-huh.
And how do I know? Because in addition to items, which are marked by beacons, mm-hmm. we also have places uh-huh. that are marked by beacons. And as you can see, there are various places in my home, but also outside of my home that I have marked. And for example, my car is marked by a beacon, and my rental car is, I have a beacon for a rental car. So when I rent a car, I light up this beacon and drop it in the car so that I get warnings when I forget something when I return a rental car before I run too far away. So we can easily add beacons to the sets to the list of beacons that we have. So let me show how it works. So for example, let's add a location. Right now I have several ways of adding a location. One of the ways for adding a location is using a QR code that I can attach to the beacons, or just using them by proximity. But for the fun of it, let's just see how this beacon looks like. You see, the QR code marked the beacon that I want to register, and I will call this beacon demo. I also can take a picture of it with my camera.
Mm-hmm. So this is a Chinese beacon, right?
This is the this is the beacon made by a company in Shenzhen called Minyu, and this is our preferred supplier for beacons so far.
How much do they cost?
Well, they are advertised between I think $1 and $10.
Okay.
And the price depends on the volume.
Got it.
So because I'm buying them in the volume that is measured in dozens, yeah. by like 20 or 40 at a time, it's higher than $1. But if I buy, 100,000 of them, it will be that. It will be probably close to a dollar.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary. Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
And this is, and by the way, it's interesting that the beacons of all sorts cost about the same, although this beacon is looks much more, it's much larger with larger battery than beacons that we glue to things. This is the beacon used to mark the location. So we're uploading this beacon into a database, which exists in our service. Now it's uploaded. It will take a few seconds for this beacon to show up in locations, but in the meanwhile, we'll wait for the locations of the items that are now they are now marked as being in the study. But in a few minutes, we will see that they will start switching to this new demo location, which is closer than the study. Let's just go and check whether this demo location. Oops, sorry, that happens sometimes.
Yeah.
Whether this demo locations has appeared. Again, we're not a real-time location service.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that things that are misplaced have been misplaced for a while before a person starts looking for them. So there's no rush in determining the location. Algorithm is actually based on that. It goes back in time and analyzes carefully all of the signals that have been received from all of the beacons over a long period of time, and it builds this picture of the world that then is ready to be presented to people whenever the information is needed. So we probably will come back to it,
mm-hmm.
but let me just look and see what the context looks like. So this is the context for my this is the current context for my notebook, which just now was identified. Oh, it's near the demo. It's the nearest location.
Okay.
The next nearest location is study. The next is kitchen, then the guest bathroom and the bedroom. So you see that there's a progression of things, but the closest three things to my notebook is the beacon that's called demo, which marks the location, and then my home glasses and my tablet, which are right here next to each other. And if I go back to the main screen, you see the notebook and the tablet.
Yes.
Are near the location that we just introduced, which is called demo.
Very good. That's so cool. So, and this is crowdsourced, is it? So if there are two of us that have the app and we're, I'm at work and you're at home and you left your keys at work, then my app could tell you where your keys are?
Absolutely. And let me just look at there's a location here that's called demo locations, which my folks in Israel are using. But let me see if it's still showing there. Demo, where is this demo location? I just saw it recently.
Yeah, I just saw it there as well. It's
demo location.
Yeah.
This is the beacon that. Oh yeah, they lost the signal for it, so they probably turned it off. But
okay.
It was. This actually is a beacon that lives in Israel.
All right.
And when they come close to it, it lights up.
Very cool.
So yes, you're right. All of the phones running Haystack Magic application harvest all of the beacons for everybody, and they all forward it to the same huge database that our algorithm constantly scans and analyzes.
And so what is it that stops the folks from Tile looking at this podcast and kind of doing what you're doing? Are there any barriers? Where's the IP in what you're doing?
Well, our crown jewel is actually not this application, although it's quite nice, but our crown jewel is the algorithm that runs in the cloud in our service. Mm-hmm. And there's some serious mathematics that learns from prior history. Mm-hmm. So there are elements of artificial intelligence there that build a structure, a data structure that tells us how things are located relative to each other. This is protected by patents, and we are keep on filing them. Mm-hmm. So that's the barrier. Obviously, we don't really see all the current beacon trackers. Tracker vendors are our competitors. Mm-hmm. We actually, for the fun of it, we just registered one of them with my flight bag.
All right.
And our algorithm doesn't quite know what to do with it because it shines the light, its light so brightly, it broadcasts at such a high power, wasting a lot of battery, that we see it from anywhere. So our algorithm says, well, it's near all of the beacons, so it just gives me the address where I currently am, where this item is, whereas every other beacon, which is standard, we can tune it to much lower power, transmit power, and therefore we can correlate it with nearby other beacons, which are our location markers. But we can register non-standard beacons, and if these companies want to cooperate with us, we are more than they're more than welcome to reach out to us, and if they disclose their proprietary protocols, we could probably integrate them all into this application, and they will be all working together.
Cool. You were talking about the proprietary nature of the tiles protocol and so forth. And I guess one of the other differences is that what they're doing is proprietary, but it's also connection orientated, right? And you're just working in beacon mode without a connection.
Of course, the beacons don't. The beacons imply that they are broadcasting and it's a unidirectional. So it's a connectionless way of gathering information. We can control the beacons for periods of time when they turn on and open and are open up for connection, but it wastes their battery. And why would we do this?
Got it.
We don't see any need to talk to these beacons other than maybe change their power settings and broadcast period settings, but we already set them so low and so infrequently that it doesn't really make much sense.
Tell us a bit about the applications for this. There's the home applications, but you're kind of engaged with some other interesting partners and customers. Talk about those.
First thing that comes to mind when you think of tracking possessions, tracking items, is the household or domestic use, like household use and consumer market. However, we believe that what we do transcends various verticals, and we're just in the beginning of a huge change in human behavior where things are being increasingly shared. The way was shown to us by early vendors of software that allowed people to share cars or their dwellings, their residences, but now we see co-working spaces changing the way people work, and the same companies change the way people live. So we're at the very beginning of the cycle of sharing economy, where things will be shared that cannot be really tracked with the GPS kind of precisions, like the cars, the bicycles, and the houses. There will be tools, and there will be all kinds of objects that can be shared between people that are very small and live indoors. So you need to find a new way of expressing their location, and this is exactly what we do.
Very
and
good.
Beacons would be a huge, huge help and a huge game changer in this. And when I say beacons, I mean commodity, inexpensive, sub $1, mm-hmm. maybe sub 50 cent type of tiny beacons embedded into everything.
Yeah, I think that's true. And we're seeing people that make products starting to think about traceability, trackability, to mitigate issues around theft. But as you say, it can be part of the sharing economy as well. Well, that's really cool. So we've seen the product, talked about some of the direction that you're going in. It's clearly differentiated. Any last things you want to say before we wrap up?
I think that this is the very early days of item location based on standard radio beacons, standard Bluetooth beacons. And I think that the industry will win and will benefit from cooperation between different vendors, hardware vendors, software vendors, and all kinds of consumers of technology, including businesses, workplaces, co-working places, all kinds of offices, real estate. These are the markets that need to cooperate in order to bring it to life.
Well, I love that vision, and I agree with it. So so it's really, really been good to have you on the show. Misha Nosik, CEO of Haystack Magic, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Steve.
So yeah, have you had a chance to think about the music that you would take with you to Mars?
Well, you're limiting me to three.
It's very difficult.
I see no reason for that, because I'd take just every song ever created or every piece of music ever created on the planet. But if you insist,
I do.
You know, for me, it's very reflective of my biography, because growing up and pretty much throughout my life, I always listened to songs in languages I barely understood. It started with songs in English, which I listened growing up. And at one point I said, well, I got to understand what is it that they're saying. And I kind of went on a mission to learn all the words of all the Beatles songs. And the one that stuck with me through the years is the probably less popular one, the less known one, that's called Your Mother Should Know. I don't know if you know it, but well, as a Brit, you probably do.
But I do. It's a great song.
Yeah, and it kind of migrates from playlist to playlist, still with me on most of my devices and my online library. And I listen to it every once in a while. The other one that kind of stuck with me through the years, I picked up in Israel. Again, when I lived there, the music scene and the and music environment is very different from what I was used to growing up. And I started listening to the songs in Hebrew. And again, it helped me very much learning the language. One that that I keep on listening to every once in a while is by Isaac Klepter. It's called Tzlil Mechuvan, which roughly translates as the tuned sound, a tuned tone, which is very romantic and sentimental, and pretty old song.
But so how old were you when you moved to Israel?
I was about 26 years old.
Oh, okay.
So it was kind of second part of my life.
Yeah.
The last song that I ended up in Canada, in a city that is half Francophone, and nobody speaks French to me, because when they hear the accent, they assume I'm not French, so they speak English. It ended up with my kids speaking French to each other, so they don't understand. So I had to deal with it. So I'm kind of making great progress in my French over the last few years. And the one song that I kind of keep on listening to is that's the new one, a relatively new one, by the Belgian artist called Stromae, and the song is called Formidable, which I guess translates as wonderful. It's a very, also very, very romantic and unusual song. Maybe few of your listeners know, but that's my choice.
Fantastic. Well, that's really unique and original. It's amazing how much commonality we end up getting. It's just three songs, and quite often we get a lot of the same ones. So no one's ever chosen any of those songs. So thanks very much.
The Mr. Beacon podcast is sponsored by Wiliot, scaling IoT with battery-free Bluetooth.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.